I have said on here before, through the years, that I think with regards to some issues in our country, we here across rural Alaska live a very cloistered life. Topics and issues that are plaguing areas of the lower 48 don't always resonate with us. And in some cases, that's a shame because some issues, if they gain enough traction in the lower 48, could very much affect us somewhere down the line. I'm normally a very upbeat, optimistic sort, so I don't think I'm going all Chicken Little on this. One of the biggest such issues in my mind is that of gun ownership and any sort of restrictions governmentally imposed. For example, did you become familiar with U.S. Representative Eric Swalwell of California last week? I had heard of him but knew nothing of him. He made the news last week for a few comments tied to gun ownership. Let me share those in case you didn't hear them. First, he wants to use $15 billion in taxpayer money to buy back semi-automatic weapons from law-abiding Americans. He does not offer this up as an option. He would expect that all who own such guns would willingly fork them over. How many of you have semi-automatic weapons? Yeah, me too. So, let that sink in for a moment. When some gun owners tweeted responses to the effect of, "Yeah, good luck taking my guns," Swalwell tweeted back, "And it would be a short war, my friend. The government has nukes. Too many of them." So, to sum it up, he wants to use taxpayer money, yeah, we have the money for that, to buy back legally owned firearms. He wants them confiscated. It's not a choice. And at the thought of gun owners not being willing to comply, he offers up that the government has nukes at its disposal. This from a sitting U.S. representative. I'll say it again. Let that sink in for a moment. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I do not plan to go all Second Amendment across this entire episode, but as I consider it, that's not a bad idea for a future episode. And I'd have a lot of solid footing to use it as a topic. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service promotes hunting. Hunting is critical to rural Alaska. And gun ownership is a hot-button topic, as evidenced by Mr. Swalwell's recent comments. So let's say that the Second Amendment is a future topic waiting to happen. Rather, the direction I plan to go in today does deal with guns and hunting, but considers a different question. I belong to a number of online forums, as I'm sure many of you listening do as well. Perhaps we're even on some of the same forums. I find online websites that have forums related to things that interest me to be incredibly valuable sources of input and knowledge. Let me provide one example. Last week, I was searching for load data for a gun caliber and cartridge for a bullet weight that's not listed in any published data for that caliber and cartridge. I put forth the question on one forum I belong to, and sure enough, even though there isn't any published data for that bullet weight, a few people out there have done what I want to do and gave me solid feedback on getting started. With regards to some of these forums, most of the ones I belong to are related to outdoor ventures of one sort or another, and a good many of them related specifically to hunting. One question I see pop up a few times each year, perhaps somewhat fueled by comments such as those made by Mr. Swalwell, is to the effect of, "How many guns do you need?" On these forums, however, the question isn't out there as a form of restriction. Gun owners typically are happy enough that there is no upper limit, and will add to what they have in as much as their financial situation allows them. Rather, the question is, if you were limited to the bare-bones essentials, how many would that be, and also what choices would you make to fill those spots? Again, I see this pop up on a number of different hunting and gun ownership-related forums each and every year, and it's a fun mental exercise to consider what you'd pick if limited to but a few, as well as why you'd select them, and what others say they'd select and their reasons as well. With winter hunting seasons ahead of us, winter moose, caribou, snowshoe hare, ptarmigan, I thought it'd be fun to give it a bit of thought on here. I would note that some folks make do with more or less the bare minimum already, while others are what I'd call functional collectors, meaning they add to their collections, but do actually put them to use as well. At this point in my life, that's probably where I'm at. I had a buddy that I hunted with in the village when we were in the 90s who had a fair gun collection in the lower 48, or so I heard, but he was pretty minimalist during his years teaching in Alaska. I only ever saw him hunt with or carry four guns in all the years we hunted together. He had a Ruger all-weather 22 mag rifle for ptarmigan and spruce hens, a Ruger number 1 and 6mm for caribou, and a Browning BAR and 300 Win Mag for stuff like bears and moose. He also carried a small Ruger semi-auto 22 pistol for his trap line. That was it. Now, to some that may sound like more than enough, but for a lot of gun owners, that's not a whole lot. It was, for my buddy, sufficient for everything he planned to do in Alaska. I might add, he was easily the finest shot I've ever seen. On those discussions on forums, when the question comes up, it's not unusual for the most common responses to be something along the lines of a large caliber rifle for big game, a rimfire for small game, and a shotgun for birds. So, three guns total. That's not an unreasonable point of view, in my humble opinion. I would say that I think the key is to consider your own situation. What you will hunt, if you hunt, and what you plan to use your gun or guns for. For example, if it's more than just hunting, say home defense, that may or may not call for a separate choice. And you could really pare it down quite a bit if you decided to go with a unique option. As an example, I could, if I had to, get by with just one gun, my Savage Model 24, which is an over-under two-barrel affair that has a 30-30 barrel sitting atop a 20-gauge barrel. While it may lack in some ways for some things, I could reasonably do just about anything in Alaska I'd want to do with that one gun. That doesn't make it perfect, just doable. The Model 24, by the way, was available in several iterations. A better bet than mine might have been the 30-30 over a 12-gauge, or possibly the 308 over a 12-gauge. However, with the exception perhaps of large bears, the 24 I have would be just fine, with the right loads, for all manner of birds, small game, and big game up to moose. Were I forced to, I could get by with just this one gun. That said, I'm glad I don't have to get by with just one gun. I'll throw out a couple of disclaimers at this point. First, my opinions are just that, opinions. Any 10 of you listening might have 10 different opinions, all with better arguments than mine. Also, I'd note in considering choices, to where a caliber might have to cover a wide range of applications, bullets today are so much better than they were even 10 to 15 years ago, in terms of both variety and construction. That's really helpful in considering a limited arsenal. So, what would you need if you were limited in how many guns you could have? Again, I'd say first consider what jobs you need done. My own situation would look like this. I hunt small game in as much as I can to include hares, grouse, and ptarmigan. I waterfowl hunt periodically, certainly not nearly as much as many of you. I hunt caribou and moose every chance I can, and we like to eat a lot of game meat in our household. I bear hunt on occasion. I have not trapped in the last several years, but I'd still consider that in thinking about a limited arsenal. And I do give thought to home defense. That's my situation. Yours may be similar, or entirely different. Based on that, here is what I would choose for me. I favor a Ruger 10/22 for all of the small stuff. The one I have has been used for those applications since I bought it new at Great Northern Guns back in the early 90s. For larger stuff, I'd have to default to my Marlin XLR. It's a stainless lever-action rifle in the now-defunct .338 Marlin Express caliber. That's the one I mentioned at the outset in poking around for load data for a 180-grain bullet. It's flat shooting, and because I hand load, I could load it to be effective for anything in our state or on our continent. For waterfowl, I have a Mossberg 512-gauge. I have a bucket list item of someday owning a decent side-by-side, but I'm not there yet. For home defense, a decent semi-auto pistol and proficiency in its use is how I'd go. So yeah, I'd buy into what a lot of guys suggest on those forums. A rimfire, a shotgun, and a large caliber rifle. All tailored in calibers and gauges to be practical for a person's individual situation. Also, some type of firearm for home defense, though whatever you select from the other three could certainly see double duty in that regard. I think folks like Swalwell are barking up the wrong tree on this particular topic. Sadly, he's not alone, and that's why I think it behooves us here in Alaska to be attentive to things that are said and done in other places. It's fun to consider and make justifications for what we might choose if we were limited to but a few choices. But I think most of us would agree, it should stop at a simple mental exercise. Whatever your own choices for a limited arsenal, enjoy the choices you make. Get out to the range or the field and make use of them, and enjoy the fact that you're able to do so. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.